hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning, or shake their hand, or give them a high five and say hello, say howdy. How about that old band cooking it this morning? Good stuff right there. That's how Connor keeps that booty such good shape, is from stomping that thing like that. Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, get your hands off fiddle player, dude. She's mine. Man, glad you're here. So good to be here. Always good to come hang out on Sundays. And so we're in the middle of our series. We've been talking about becoming an orchard. An orchard for the Lord, orchard, so me becoming a fruit tree, you becoming a fruit tree that produces the fruit of God in our lives, that our church would be an orchard, that our homes would be an orchard, that as fathers we would be an orchard that produces good fruit for our spouse, and as a mom produces fruit for our children, that we would produce fruit everywhere we go, because the Bible teaches us that God is glorified in our life when we produce fruit. So I want God to be glorified in my life, and hopefully you desire the same thing. And so last week we discussed this. In order for us to produce good fruit, we must ask God the Father to give us a new heart. We must understand and we must realize that our heart within ourselves, like my Cochran heart, as good as my heart wants to be, or Ricky, as good as your heart is, or as good as your heart is, Brian, like as good as your heart is, Carrie, my heart still is hard. My heart still is wicked. My heart is still selfish, and I cannot produce good fruit on my own that will glorify God. But if I ask God to give me a new heart and to take away my hard heart, God will give me a new heart that beats for the things of God, and then out of the abundance of the heart, we will begin to produce much fruit that glorifies God. God will give us a new heart. And so then, once God gives us a new heart, we have to work our butt off to guard that heart and to keep that heart. Because the minute that you or I ask God for a new heart, and all of a sudden we have joy, and all of a sudden we have patience, and all of a sudden we have kindness, I'm telling you, when you leave this church on Sunday afternoon, the enemy is going to do everything he can to get your heart jacked up once again. To try to get bitterness, to try to get anger, to try to get self-pity, to try to get all these things to come, because the enemy knows if he gets our hearts jacked, everything else is jacked up in our lives as well. Can I hear a good amen? We got to guard our heart. So here's the question. Hopefully you were here last week. Hopefully God gave you a new heart. Hopefully right now, man, you're guarding your heart. So like, now what? Okay, now what, Cody? Help me. How do I stay on this path of producing good fruit? What's next? Today we're going to talk about what's next, and today we're going to talk about the next thing. Last week we guard our heart. Now we have to learn to guard our tongue. We have to learn to guard our tongue. Because what's this? Luke 6:45. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45 says this: a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. So we're going to produce things, it comes from our heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. For what you say flows from what is in your heart. For what you say, what comes out of my mouth, it comes from my heart. What comes out of your mouth, it comes from your heart. As we start out today, can I just tell you something right quick? Look at me. Look. There is more power in your tongue than what you even know or can imagine. There is more power in the words that come out of your mouth than you even realize in here today. If God gives us a new heart, we cherish and guard that heart, then out of that heart, we should be speaking life and health and joy and peace and light and positivity. Out of this heart, we should be speaking life in every area of our lives. But here's the problem. If we let our guard down on our heart, if we let it down, and we let the enemy attack, Somebody says something to us. Somebody offends us. Somebody does something wrong. We take something wrong, and all of a sudden, we let our guard down, and we let our heart get in a bad place. Just watch. Next thing, you're going to be speaking death and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness and sickness, and we'll be producing poisonous fruit because we let our guard down over our heart. You remember what the Bible says in Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17, great scripture. I guess they're all great. But Romans 10:17 says this: so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It means that we read the word of God. If we hear the word of God spoken and preached, that we hear it and it builds up our faith and we become stronger in our faith. But here's what I want to put a twist on it. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God builds our faith, then wouldn't it make sense to say this, that faith would also come by the negative, poisonous talk that we hear in our lives? Because some of us, can I just tell you right quick, some of you, you talking trash all the time. I love you. I love you. But every time I'm around you, all you do is complain and talk negative and hateful and angry, and they did you wrong, and the world is messed up, and Biden this, and Harris that, and Trump that, and the economy this, and the school system that, and the preacher that. We just constantly talk about how bad I feel. You got the headache, the backache, your stomach feels funny. Something's always wrong when I talk to some of you. And you know what? When we speak things out of our mouth, we hear what we speak. I'm going to talk to you about self-talk, and I'm going to talk to you about talk to others as well. Because what comes out of our mouth matters. And some of us are speaking such negative talk about ourselves, about our marriage, about our kids, about our health, and we're just hearing it, and it's building the faith, and we have believed the darkness, and we believe the lie. It matters what you say, what you, never ever forget. Keep your heart with all diligence. Our words matter. Let me say this right quick. How many of you know it can be a vicious cycle for you and I? Maybe some of you grew up with negative talk. Anybody? You grew up, your parents talked it, your family talked it, everybody talked it. It was always negative, always hateful. And so what happens is we come to the Lord gives us a new heart, everything's great, everything's good, we are speaking life, we are speaking positivity, and then the world hits, and your spouse hits, and your kids hit, and your friends hit, and all of a sudden by Wednesday, you're back talking all that negative talk again, and you're hearing all that stuff, and you know what happens before the next Sunday? Your heart gets hard again. And so then you come to church and you go, oh, wow, I need a new heart. And God gives you a new heart and you leave and you're speaking life and you're speaking health and you're speaking joy and you're speaking peace. And then the world hits and you listen to it and you start speaking negativity and it goes back in and it's a vicious cycle. Hard heart, soft heart. You know what? At some point, we have to realize that the words that we say matter, and I'm not going to go down this vicious cycle and play this up and down roller coaster once again. I'm going to guard my heart. If I guard my heart, I will speak faith, and faith will raise me up, and I'll live like I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about all this today, this tongue thing. We're going to talk about what comes out of our mouth, but before we do, I want to set a couple things in place. We're going to be honest in here today. All of us, every one of us in here, we get frustrated, angry, mad, upset, and we say the wrong things at times in our life. Can I hear a good amen? You get in a fight with your spouse, you say, you wish you could retract it and take it back in. Come on, y'all. Because we make mistakes, I want you to hear me on this, because some of you, you've been doing self-talk, you've been beating yourself up for years, and so after I preach this sermon and you go home this week and you lose it and you say things you shouldn't say, you will start beating yourself up and say, I suck and I'm an evil person and I got an evil heart. Can I just say this? We all make mistakes. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to say some things. It doesn't mean we're evil. It just means we allowed our flesh and our emotions and our anger to overtake us. When we make a mistake, and when we say things to ourselves or when we say things to others and we know that it's not right, you know what we need to do? Immediately humble ourselves, immediately admit our failures and repent. Immediately stop when you do it. Because the Bible says in Matthew 3:8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So when you say those things, when you slip up, immediately repent. Because when we don't repent and when we continue to allow negative talk to continue, that's when it becomes a problem. And how many of you know, and how many would agree with me, negative talk is contagious. Watch a group gather around. Watch a group that's speaking life and speaking health, and one person starts with a negative thing, and one person starts, and it'll just go around the room, and then next thing, you might know what I'm talking about. So you know what? We make mistakes, and if we make mistakes, don't allow it to become a habit. Repent. Be humble about it. Second thing is this. There is this stupid, crazy, wild doctrine that's going on in our world today, and it's this name it and claim it word of faith doctrine. It's this name it and claim it stuff where it's ignorant. This doctrine says, you know, what if you're a born-again believer and Jesus lives inside of you? No matter how you live or what you're doing or what's going on, you just got to speak it out by faith, and it's got to happen, and you just got to speak it out. And all this stuff, can I tell you, there's power in our words, but that is total fallacy. We are not sovereign. We don't get to decide what's going to happen by the words that come out of our mouth. God is sovereign, and he's the one that decides what happens. We can't just speak this crap out. It's total BS, and I'm sorry, but it's out there. If it were the case, if we could just name it and claim it, if we could just heal and squeal, if we could just say whatever we wanted to say all the time, I would ask you this, then why is there anything dark and anything negative and anything painful going on in our world? Why couldn't these super spiritual, spirit-filled, faith-filled people that can name it and claim it step up and say, Hurricane Milton, stop in the name of Jesus? Why couldn't we speak cancer out of the way? Why couldn't we stop hunger? Why couldn't we stop the wars? That's just not true, and it's just not real, and don't buy into those lies. Nonetheless, I want you to know there's power in our words. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. James chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. In the same way, the tongue is a very small thing, but it makes grand speeches. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, and it will corrupt your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. I just want you and me to be challenged that we got to learn to guard our tongue. We have to learn that our tongue, how many would agree with me? You can say one thing and it can start a fire. Come on, somebody. One thing wrong, boom, fire's going. And sometimes a fire is very hard to put out. The Bible says our tongue will corrupt the rest of our body. We got to guard our tongues. Proverbs 12:15. I love this. I'm just going to read you some scripture. We'll just talk about it a little bit for the rest of the time today. Proverbs 12:15. It says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words. A man will be satisfied by the fruit of his words. Think about that. Let me ask you something right quick. How many of you in this place are satisfied today? If you're not satisfied, that means you're not speaking good words. Because our good words, we will be satisfied. If we're not satisfied, then maybe we need to check our words. I said this a while ago, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Some of you are never satisfied, and I can tell by listening to you talk. You ever around that person? It's like this, nothing's ever enough. We're going to be satisfied by the words that come out of our mouth. Let's put a twist on it. If a man is satisfied by his own words, wouldn't you think that the people around that man would be satisfied by that man's words as well? If my words will satisfy me, according to the word of God, my words should produce things in the life of my spouse and my children and my church that cause them to be satisfied as well. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit? You got to ask yourself this question. When I speak, is it life or when I speak, is it death? When I speak, is it life or is it death? I don't know about you, but I believe it's time for you and I to get a hold of our tongues. And I'm preaching to me too. If you know me, I got a tongue, boy. I got a tongue, girl. And I know how to use it. I know how to use it. I know how to use it. It's my gift. It's my gift. Can I just go ahead and say this? It's probably a little bit harder for me to control my tongue than it is for you, because I have a gift to use my tongue. God said, I'm going to use you, and your tongue is going to be to glorify me. And so I practice, and I can talk fast, and I can think fast, and I can spit them out, and I can say this, and I can say that. But the very thing that makes me do what God has called me to do, the enemy can come in, my heart can get jacked up, and I can use my tongue in another way to hurt people. We have to watch our tongues. Proverbs 17:27. I love this scripture. I love it, but I hate it. You know what I'm talking about? Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains their words shows knowledge. Whoever restrains their words shows knowledge. Can I break it down in layman's terms and Bethel Assembly terms? What does that mean? Whoever restrains their words? That means he or she who learns to shut up. We live in a world, can we be honest? We live in a world where everybody thinks they deserve to be heard. Everybody thinks, I gotta say this. I gotta show you my wisdom. I gotta rebuke what you say. I have to post this on social media. I gotta put this on. Everybody feels like they have to be heard. And can I tell you, we don't have to be heard all the time. It takes someone full of knowledge and strength to learn how to just restrain their words and just shut up. Can I tell you a great example? Y'all are going to hate me after this. Don't chunk no tomatoes at me. Can I tell you of a great example of a person that needs to learn to restrain his words and shut up and would be better off for you and would be better off for me and would be better off for our country? Donald J. Trump. I mean, we're fixing to vote, and you need to go vote, and we need to pray for our country, and we got to pray for policies. But I'm convinced with all my heart, Donald Trump would be the president today if 4 years ago in the debates he could learn to restrain his mouth and shut his mouth and quit having to prove how smart he is to everyone and quit having to say something every time. Just shut up, dude. Pray that God would surround Donald J. Trump with some people that would say, dude, you got to shut up a little bit. You know I'm telling the truth. Restrain your words. I want to give you something. I want to give you some homework this week. Practice this week. When they make you so mad, you just got to say something to them. Practice. I'm restraining my words. Practice. 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 Have it on your mind. Have it in your heart. Write it in your notes. Restrain your words. I'm just saying, practice shutting your mouth, and I will too, and just see if it won't change every area of your life if we practice doing what the Word of God says. Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise will bring healing. How many of you threw out some reckless words this week? When you're fired up, boy, how many of y'all got a temper like a Cochran? Come on, somebody. How many got a temper? How many got emotions? How many girls got hormones? How many, you get in these places and you're fussing and you're fighting and you're throwing out these reckless words and you think before, you speak before you think and you throw them out and you're like, oh my gosh, can I tell you? Reckless words pierce other people and they harm. How many of you have ever heard this old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. BS. Broken bones will heal, and stitches will cause a wound to get well once again. But some of you that are in this very room today, you had words spoke over you 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And those words are still hanging on in your heart, and those words are still hanging on your mind, and you're still allowing those words to prove your identity. Some of you got told by your parents that you were no good and you were rotten and you were a disappointment. And some of you were spoken to by your ex-spouse in a way that is harmful and hateful, and the world has labeled you. Can I tell you, it does not matter what mere mortal men or women say about us. It matters what our Heavenly Father says about us. And no matter what anybody on this earth said about you, you need to know that God the Father says to you, you are my child. You call me Father. You are royalty. You are chosen. You're a special generation. We got to know who we are in Christ and let God's words identify us. And can I just say right quick, those some of you that are walking around with that harm and that hurt, I rebuke those words in the name of Jesus Christ. They're a lie from the pit of hell, and he that knows the truth will set you free. That stronghold can be broken. You are a child of God today. Words matter. Words matter. Be careful about what you're throwing out to other people. Proverbs 15:4. This one hurts me as well. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in a tongue breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue, a gentle. How many of you are good at gentle answers? Gentle. Sometimes just be gentle, because here's the deal. Gentle tongue is a tree that brings life, but a perverse tongue breaks the spirit. And I'm going to be really honest with y'all. Some of you never have a gentle answer for anybody, and everything you say is breaking the spirit of everyone around you, and then you wonder why you have no good, healthy, fruit-bearing relationships in your life. Speak gentle. Proverbs 16:24. Last one or not? No, maybe not last one. A couple more. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and health to the body. Gracious words are like honeycomb. Gracious words bring healing. I just wonder if we begin to speak gracious words to our spouse, if we begin to always show them grace and speak grace, I wonder, could our words actually do what the Bible says it would do? And could gracious words really bring some healing to our marriages? For those of us and those of you that may have children that are wayward and children that are not doing what you want them to do, instead of beating them over the head and condemning them, instead of wearing them out all the time, what if we spoke gracious words to our children? Could us speaking gracious words really do what the Bible says? Could our gracious words that we speak to others come and bring healing to those relationships? I don't know about you, but I trust the word of God. And I got to learn to be gentle in the way that I speak. And I said this a while ago, but how many know the Bible says good and gracious words bring health to our body? How many know God has called us to be healthy in our body? Healthy spiritually, healthy in our soul, but our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And some of you need to quit talking negative over your body. Some of you need to quit saying, well, but daddy had cancer, and so I'm probably going to have cancer too. And so-and-so had high blood pressure, and I'm going to have to take these pills, and I'm just not good, and I'm hurting. And you know what? Come on, y'all. Speak positive words over your health. I am healthy. I am created in the image of God. I am going to live long because I'm obeying the commandments of God. Speak health over your body. I'm going to close with one more scripture. This is the last one for sure. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. I get it. I talk smack to my friends all the time, and my kids and my wife. We talk smack. We play. And I get it. I'm not saying you just always got to go around and be some little mealy-mouthed little guy that never says anything, or gal that never says anything. Like, you reckless words. Serious matters in life in general. Just a lot of talk and a lot of reckless words and a lot of it just leads to sin, you know. Be sensible, the Bible says, and shut your mouth. How many know? Do us all some good. We'll learn to shut our mouth. Ain't getting no help today. Ain't getting no amens over here. Conrad, y'all come help me close this thing. Huh? That is coy. Oh, yeah, it was coy. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. I would just close with this, and I want you to listen to me, really. Our words matter, y'all. The words I speak and the words you speak, they matter. And how we speak them, it matters. It matters. It's more power in what we say than we even know. Look, y'all, I just got a text message from Jennifer. She just said, Cody, you look so cute today, and I'm looking forward to your gentle talk to me this afternoon. Everybody's just full of bull at the Bethel Assembly today. More power in our words than we even realize. Check yourself. And I just got to say, like, when Jennifer says that, it's like a check for me. Can I tell you about me? I'm a leader. I'm more than a preacher. I'm more than a pastor. I'm a leader. Like, I lead this organization. I lead our campuses. I lead people. I lead my kids. And you know what leaders do? Leaders are driven. Leaders are motivated. And sometimes I got to say that for me, I'm trying to get over there and lead, and I'm trying to fix it. And sometimes I will speak harshly to people on my way to get over there and fix the problem. And the Lord's checking me going, you know what? It's more about people than it is about getting over and fixing the problem. So it's a check for me. And I'm just asking you, check yourself too. Check yourself. If you're here today and you feel the Spirit convicting you about the way you speak to yourself and the way you speak to others, just repent. But how many of you know repentance can be hard? Because old habits die hard. And some of you been speaking that crap for 20 or 30 years. And you've convinced yourself that you can't change. Can I tell you, the devil is a liar. You can do this. You know how I know you can do it? Because the Bible says that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-discipline. So stop saying you can't change. You quote Philippians 4:13 all the time in every other area. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can control what comes out of your mouth. So can I. Pray and ask God's help. Okay, get your phone out or get your pens out. Just write down two scriptures. Pray and ask God, God help me. God help me this week. Help me with my tongue. Just to those of y'all that need help with your mouth. Two scriptures. When you pray scripture, it's powerful. Word of God. Psalm 141:3. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard over my lips. Shut that door. Can I tell you, if you read that scripture and pray that prayer, look at me. You know what God will do this week? When you feel this stuff coming up, He'll go, shh. He'll shut a door around your mouth. Just make sure you don't open that door and say it anyway. Like, God promises to do His part, but we got to do our part as well. Set a guard over my lips. Here's another one. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, and acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, God. That's tough, y'all. Let the meditation of my heart, let the things I think about, let the things that I ponder in my new heart, out of the abundance of the heart, my mouth speaks. Let my new heart meditate on God, on the fruit of God, and the things of God. And as I meditate on the things of God, let the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. God will do His part, but we must in turn do our part. I'll close with this statement and then we'll pray. My tongue and your tongue produces fruit. Period. You and I get to choose whether it's bad fruit or good fruit. You and I get to choose if it's life or it's death. So stand on your feet if you would. We'll close with a word of prayer and then a little worship. Father, we just ask you to speak to us today. Lord, you're a good God, and we're just excited about this this transformation that's taking place in our life. We're excited that we got these new hearts, and we're excited that we're going to be fruit producers, and we want to continue. We don't want to stop. And so, Lord, challenge us today. Don't let us feel condemned or beat up. Let us just be convicted in a way that would challenge us to be better and do better about our words and about what comes out of our mouth and the way that it comes out of our mouth. Challenge us and speak to us today, Lord. Let us choose life and not death. And as we speak it, let us watch things begin to grow. Lord, let us, as we learn to restrain our words and shut our mouth, let us watch life begin to flow and health begin to come back to every area of our life. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come